This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. There's an alarming increase in suicides in Bristol County, most of them among white middle-aged men. Suicide deaths of white men in Bristol County between the ages of 45 and 65 jumped last year to numbers significantly higher than the state average. That's according to suicide prevention advocates there. They say that while the middle-aged male suicide rate has increased nationally, the surge in Bristol County is more sudden and dramatic. The county is made up of 20 towns southwest of Boston and along the south coast, including Taunton, New Bedford, and Fall River. We spoke with Anne-Marie Matulis, who's the executive director of the Bristol County Regional Coalition for Suicide Prevention, and we asked her when the most recent suicide happened there.
July 6th.
And do you know who it was?
It was a man.
Middle-aged man? Did he fit the profile that,
yes, he did.
That you're concerned about now? So white,
yes,
middle-aged man.
Yep.
What is the statistic that has struck you as being so shocking about the deaths of middle-aged men, particularly white men, in Bristol County?
Probably that we had a huge spike in 2014, and I was so concerned about it, I thought I had done the numbers wrong. We had almost a 72% spike in deaths of men between 2013 into 2014. And I can also say that in that 2014 huge spike, 87% of the deaths were men.
And from 2014 to 2015, do you know yet?
We're on the same track. The whole point of the steps we're about to take is to prevent that.
What do you attribute this to? Because I know mental health experts point out there are a lot of factors that contribute,
yep,
to suicide. It can be financial, in terms of personal finances,
mm-hmm,
relationship problems. What have you found as factors?
Everything you just mentioned, and then add substance abuse, add potential or known previous suicide attempts, grieving loss of someone else themselves, not necessarily to suicide. Depression is the big one, and it could be undiagnosed. Bipolar could be a contributing factor, most of it undiagnosed. We know nationally that a large percentage of people who suicide have seen a mental health or medical health professional within a month, but it doesn't mean they discussed what was really going on.
Within a month of the time that they killed themselves.
Yes. And then there is scientific evidence, particularly with mental health and suicide, that men historically won't ask for that help. We have conditioned men not to seek the help.
It's such a sharp increase over such a short period of time.
Yeah.
Presumably there have been economic factors all along. There are relationship problems,
mm-hmm,
that don't necessarily spike in a particular year.
Mm-hmm.
What changed?
We're studying the data now. We don't know is this an anomaly? Is this the picture we're going to be looking at for the next 3 years? We don't know.
What about the opiate abuse crisis and specifically the use of heroin? It's a factor, but how is it so much a factor right now in Bristol County among white men?
In Bristol County, heroin overdoses, the only ones that we can tag, the coroner will tag as suicide, are those that typically leave a note or have made some kind of pre-death statement, very specific. The other overdoses, so many of them could have been intentional, but we have no way of knowing if we have no other data or no other indicators about that. But certainly it's a contributing factor.
In what way are you able to tie some of these suicide deaths to opiate abuse?
Because there's been contributing evidence that has indicated it was very clearly a suicide.
And more so among white men.
Yes.
So if we know that from research, 90% of those who kill themselves, those people who kill themselves, have mental health problems,
mm-hmm,
what can be done about that, particularly if those people either don't know or not identified as having mental health problems, if family members might suspect but have not been able to talk the person into acting on it? What options are there?
Probably the best protective factor we have going is increased education, awareness, and trainings. There's a double edge to that, too. A very painful factor to this is just society's stigma about people talking about mental health. I'll use a personal example. When I explain that I'm a cancer survivor, everybody applauds. And when I tell them my professional job is suicide prevention, it clears the room. And that's educated, informed people will still react with such a fear and uninformed reaction to suicide and to depression and to mental health in general. You know, most people who have mental health concerns live and work well. You wouldn't know. They don't have a neon sign on their forehead that glows out in the dark at you. But there is a stigma and a perception that somehow they're less than everybody else. That's a systemic and a cultural change that has to happen because people are dying because of it.
So then if the stigma endures, what kind of change in tactics are you going to try?
We're going to be open and honest and direct. We're not looking to scare the heck out of people, but simply say, this is everybody's business. This is everybody's business.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Thank you for speaking with us.
You're welcome.